Blog Talk Radio.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could...
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap,
a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com,
where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Ringside Wrap on this Wednesday, December 19th, 2012, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the East Coast. And yes, two days to get ready for the mind collapse of the calendar. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined as always by the legendary Les Thatcher. And Les, are you ready for the end of days coming on Friday?
I'm rather upset by that because I've got milk and cookies ready for Santa because I expect him to bring me something.
At least you don't have to pay taxes, though, if that happens.
I think the world's already come to an end. We just don't know it yet. I think we're just...
That's what it feels like sometimes, I can tell you that. And, you know,
really?
Later on, at the end of the show, by the way, everybody, we're going to have a little announcement coming up at the end here. But, Les, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the results coming out of Sunday and if you had a chance to watch Raw on Monday or at least hear about Raw on Monday. But... some sanity prevailed, at least when it came to the booking of the Shield, and I guess everybody is just happy coming out of that, and I believe they should be.
Yeah, I think they did the right thing there. I don't know if questionable is the word I'm looking for here, but the way that they did the deal with Ziggler and Cena, I don't know that that helped Ziggler in any way. Of course, I don't think they've done anything to help Ziggler. In the last year, you're right. We've talked about it, and you know, the Shield got their hands raised, and they should have, you know. So we're another week into this, but you know, their track record of having some things basically handed to them, and then them, you know, going in a different direction and kind of screwing it up, or at least just not utilizing it to its fullest is a long track record, so I maintain my leery status until I, you know.
As well, everybody should, too, because when you, just looking up and down the card, when you look at the results of the show, you got to stop and you look and the Miz and Alberto Del Rio and Kofi Kingston and Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes, and you kind of look up and down and you go, geez. You know, at one point or another, all of you guys were supposed to be kind of basically where the Shield was, which was carrying the torch for the quote-unquote next generation. Did you have a chance to see it at all, or at least hear about it? Because obviously in a table, ladders, and chairs match, there's only, you know, it's set up for certain plunder and these sorts of things to happen, but... You know, what can be said, at least from my point of view watching it, was Dean Ambrose, the faces he made, the looks he made, the way he was in pain getting slammed on a ladder, he didn't jump back up off again. I just thought the three guys, especially Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, which shouldn't be a surprise, really, I guess really held up to their end of the deal. But what have you heard from people, or at least, you know, anybody letting you know about how the show went?
Yeah. The people I talked to, basically all, had positive stuff to say, for the most part. And, which is good. I mean, that's going, but that's one, what is it? One good show does not a lifetime make or something. I don't know. You know, get my, I mean, that's the thing. Will they, let's say they draw some people back or get some new fans off the strength of what they're doing. Will they keep them? Well, that's hard to say too. It's just, honestly, as fresh as the AJ character was a couple months ago, I'm tired. If she never skips another 2 feet, I'll be excited. they do that or have done that with a lot of is they'll run something down your throat to the point where you really don't care anymore.
Yeah.
As effective as the Cobra was 6 months ago, it's totally ineffective now.
I can't say I'm shocked by that one.
Well, I don't even see the value of going through that whole charade, I mean, honestly, don't, Mike. That's, to me, the amazing thing to me, and maybe, maybe I'll never figure it out, but with that kind of high-dollar time available to me to move my product forward, I'm amazed at how much time is wasted or just filled with nonsensical stuff that really, if you like it, fine. If you don't, you're going to turn it off. But the bottom line is it does nothing to – it doesn't sell you one pay-per-view. Or it doesn't send anybody back to the water cooler tomorrow at work or to the back fence. The next door neighbor said, "Man, you should have seen Raw last night. It was spectacular."
I don't think anybody who's beating down anybody's doors to say that the Boogie Ran returned for a moment on Monday night.
Yeah, I listen, Lance and Brian, and I with Lance Storm. I may disagree on something with him, but I don't know what it would be. he was saying that, the product with Raw across the board is so, Brian came up with the word frivolous, but it's just done in such a lighthearted manner. Is why would anybody else become, emotionally invested, in a serious manner or find anything that, they don't have something to sink their teeth into. I made the comment, that, maybe a lot of the people over voting ages still watch or are faithful viewers. Maybe they look at it as an athletic Saturday Night Live. I don't know. I don't.
Because we talked about it on here. It's one thing to do comedy or to try to do forays into something, but when you don't have good actors that way, you don't have comedians, then all of this stuff is, it just is more painful when you have the announcers being told to chuckle it up, in between these, they're already painful to watch as it is, and then you got Cole and Lawler and now JBL there, all right, chuckle, this is so funny. It's patronizing, too, I think would be a good word to, at least to me it is, watching it.
Yeah. Well, they... Again, you can only take it as serious as they take it themselves. And, the Globetrotters are coming to Cincinnati. They always come around Christmas time. And I was thinking the other day, the way they're plugging the Globetrotters, it's pretty much the way WWE is plugged in this city. It's like somebody at the gym was saying about taking their son, one of the young men that I talked to at the gym occasionally was talking about, how they missed taking his son, I guess, but I'll take him next year. But that used to be the thing with the Trotters. They come around once a year and you either catch them or you don't. My question was going to be how emotionally involved, I was a big Globetrotter fan as a kid, and still understand, the talents that these guys have over and above being decent basketball players. But I'm not, you know, I've seen them, so I've seen them.
Yeah, and it's, you're not sitting there ordering stuff offline, you know, to, shirts to wear or anything like that. It, you know, the Globetrotters are one of those things where you go to the show once a year and you have your smiles and your laughs, and they do the bucket trick and sit on somebody's lap, steal the lady's purse and everything, and you may get a ball or something like that, but then, and this is going to sound terrible to say, you don't think about them for another year. And
yeah.
That's always been one of my fears with WWE, and because as, unfortunately, as the view of wrestling goes, it goes as WWE goes, and when they're basically telling you, you know, yuck, yuck, we're coming to your town, and then, then why do you want to watch every week? And the show is at 3 hours long, and I know football season's about to end and all this stuff. It's almost like, hey, you know, come see the show when the superstars come to your town, but they don't give you much of a reason to care about it after that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Cena and Sheamus stand around on these little vignettes and say, yeah, John, ha, 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 that so-and-so shot my dog and raped my wife, ha, ha, ha. But you know what? I'm going to get that devil, ha, ha, ha. You sure are,
yeah.
Sheamus, ha, 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 ha. You know, I mean, it's like, it's all a joke. I mean,
so what do you think about now? Sheamus, I think, he's had a good year. I think he's held up to a lot of his end of the bargain in a lot of ways after he was booked so poorly after, you know, when he was champion, the Nexus thing was going around and he ran away from him, where they seemed to kind of bury him underground for a while. But he's kind of held up to his end of the deal, and he and Big Show, I thought, for what it was, and again, this is a chairs match on a pay-per-view, with two guys you've already seen go at it multiple times. I thought they did a good job. And Big Show, speaking of, this was on a radio station up in New York. And I don't know, did you have a chance to see this video of him talking about psychology?
Who? Which one?
Big Show.
No, I did not.
Okay, he was, you know, it was very interesting. It was up on the Observer front page and a couple other places where... the host asked him about some of the things that, you know, he's frustrated with, and he said, you know, he talked about babyface tag teams, you know, after the dip, you know, making, you know, after that, you know, either win the match or lose the match, but just the multiple comebacks over and over again and things like that, you know, you burnt them out, you know, you can't get them back. And he talked a lot about, you know, how he is, you know, presents himself. As far as when it, you know, I'm a good guy and I'm joking around, you believe that. But when I'm upset and angry, I'm a big giant you're scared of, and you believe that too. And I thought it was very interesting and very refreshing to hear, actually, too, because, again, it's you know, another shot delivered back to, you know, these simple things. These things that are very simple are the things that, you know, everybody needs to do.
Yeah.
And bring up the thing about the tag teams, I was hoping you had seen that.
No, I did not get to see it. But, yeah, well, you know, that's, I think, pretty much across. Well, I'll tell you the other thing is to see all this where you have to stop and say your catchphrase three times before you do something. It's so camp, hokey, that it just, you know, it just takes any believability out of it. I mean, it really does, you know. And it's just watching Kofi the other night to come to the ring with all the theatrics and then, you know, everything in the ring. And, you know, as good an athlete as he is, as entertaining as he is, he's not going to draw the money. They're not going to take him seriously. He's not Steve Austin. He's not Bret Hart. He's not, you know, whatever. They've portrayed him as something else. They've, you know, basically put that into your mind, and that's the way you perceive it, you know. And it's not that it can't be changed, but I don't see it happening. They don't go about those things, you know, making it, you know, in that way. I don't know.
No, and that's too bad with Kofi, too, because he's the shiny example of, you know, if you have to keep clapping your hands and keep trying to pump up the crowd, I mean, they have to do it for you. They should be pumping you up when you're in peril, not the other way around.
Right. They have to want to get behind you. It's not when you turn around and ask them. You know, that's the other thing that drives me crazy. It's not just the indie guys, but you see it. The bell rings to start the match, and the baby face starts stomping his foot and clapping his hand. What are you doing? You know? You want them to applaud you. What have you done thus far? Oh, that's right. You walked to the ring. Congratulations. You know, I just saw an old lady go to the bathroom, walk back to the bathroom. Why don't you give her a standing ovation? You know, applaud. You know, no, I mean, really, you know, stop and think about it. And the other thing is, if you're so intimidated by the guy across the ring from you that you need me right now and he hasn't touched you and the match hasn't started, why would I want to put my money on you anyway?
Darn right. Darn
you see right. My point? You see my
yes,
point?
Sir.
You know, and you know, it's like you're asking me to get behind you. You haven't done anything yet. It's crazy enough to ask me 10 minutes in, but to ask me before anything even starts, you know, okay, let's all stomp our feet and clap our hands. Why? Well, just because I want you to. I mean, there's really, you know, if you stop. And the crazy thing is I can ask somebody, why do you do this? They really have no logical explanation. They just do it because they've seen it done before. And they don't stop to think about, does it make sense? What's the value? And it's just, I'm going to do it because somebody else did it. This is what baby faces do.
Well, it's like they watch old tapes of, like, Ricky Morton when he would do it. But it's like, you know, it was almost what Ricky Morton would do and come to the ring. They, like, he'd stomp the foot and clap the hands at the beginning of the match. That's because he could. He was working the crowd in that one stomp of the foot and one clap, and that's all it took for him, and then he had 10,000 people in unison starting to do it. That's a little bit different than just going out there, you know. Imitating someone doesn't make you that person, and understanding why they did it doesn't, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know. We can all walk like Mr. McMahon, but that doesn't mean we're going to end up being Mr. McMahon, or even that we understand the character. It's just we're walking like him, you know. Well, and that's been the problem here for years, Mike. That a lot of the guys from my generation, a lot of the guys that teach, are frustrated with is the fact that whether you thought it was lighthearted or deadly serious, whether it was Harley or Dusty, the reason they got over was because they themselves believed who they were and what they projected to the audience. And now it's just a guy going through a series of things that I was told to do or that, you know, like the other night, they were arguing over, and somebody got, who was it, got upset because you thought somebody else's catchphrase was better than mine. Is this grounds for a big fight? You know, yanny, yanny, yeah. You know,
yeah.
I mean, sticks and stuff. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah.
Childish. Like, you think your catchphrase is better than mine? I'll kick your ass. What? Come on. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it's on the same level as Miz. You know, get in this ring right now so we can go face-to-face. And, I don't want to fight you, but you're going to take my lie detector test.
Yeah, well, you know the stuff they did with Flair and Punk on Monday night was predictable. I mean... I'm glad Rick's, you know, getting a payday. God bless him. But, you know, it's just, you knew what was coming. You know, I mean, not to the exact move or, but you knew something, you know. It's just so much of this stuff needs to not be done. And when you've forgotten all about it, when, you know, it's not fresh in your mind and they pull something, that it then, you know, it catches you by surprise, that's a value because it's got your attention. Because you weren't expecting it. But, you know, it's just so much of that stuff is just so, like Cena giving the statue to Flair and then the Flair and Punk confrontation. It's like, okay, I've seen this. You know, maybe not the same two people, the same three people, whatever. But I've seen this. And recent enough that I know what's going to happen before it happens.
Les, let me actually throw it to a little break right here. We come back, talk a little bit more about Flair because You know, this whole thing was supposed to start off with, you know, Flair's going to be there, but he'll be an ambassador and not be touched or any of that sort of stuff. And you saw how long that lasted, but I'll talk a little bit about more about him when we come back, so stay tuned.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be
all right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap, the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi. And Les, I should probably call Mike Mooneyham to get him on the line to try to get into to the head of Ric Flair, but forget about why he's back, if he needs the money, any of that sort of stuff. I'm not asking you to do a psychological exam on Ric either here, but obviously they have concern because of Jerry Lawler, and obviously they have concern because Ric Flair is just, if you give him an inch, he's taking a mile of rope plus. But what do you think the best thing they could do with Flair is, under just knowing how Ric Flair actually is and the fact that he wants to do absolutely everything, if he does come back on a regular basis, which it looks like he will once all of this, the TNA lawsuit stuff gets sorted out, what can you do with Flair, do you think, that could be beneficial as well as not destructive for Flair? Because, you know, he obviously has got no problem. He's going to leave it all in the ring if humanly possible, or performing and being Ric Flair. Is there some sort of tightrope you can walk where you can get something functional out of Flair without him just being Ric Flair? I don't know how else to say it.
Well, no, you know, first of all, I think if I'm paying him, I'm telling him what I want. You know, this is not like a minimum wage job we're talking about. So, you know, and Ric, you need, I mean, it goes without saying, Ric, you need the job, you know, and so would you mind within the confines of what I need to actually do the job, opposed to, you know, give him some latitude because he needs that. He's earned that. But first of all, I don't want him in the ring. What he did Monday night, I don't want him to do. And if I want him to do it, I don't want him to do it right away, because we've pretty much shot our load. You know, I mean, it's not special, Mike. If we did his five. He's back in the company 5 seconds. Okay, we've already got him involved. You know, doing signature stuff. Why? The other thing is, I see him as a PR guy for the company. You know, like it. You know, when they ticket sell. You know, when they the first day of ticket selling to the public. You know, at the for WrestleMania stuff. You know, or whatever. You know, dedicating a new building, doing PR, shaking hands. He's good at that. He's got that kind of personality. You can make him commissioner or superintendent or principal of the school or whatever the hell you want to title it. But my problem with him in that, my problem with Hogan in that, my problem with anybody that's doing it, you know, is I think if you're going to take them seriously, I think it's way, way past time that someone did, you know, because we've done the evil conniving, you know, general manager, commissioner, whatever, to death. It's been beat over the head till it's, you know, it's of no value, honestly. And, you know, but like Hogan needs to stop cupping his ear every time he comes to the damn ring. If he's actually the commissioner, then he needs to grow up and get rid of the shtick, or at least eliminate, you know, dummy it down, temper it. And Rick needs to do the same thing. And be taken, and he, you know, and let somebody try to take them seriously. If he's got a woo every time he opens his mouth, you know, that's like Hogan cupping his ear. It's just, and it's not that I'm picking on either one of them. Rick is a longtime friend. Hogan is an acquaintance. I have no personal axe to grind with anybody. It's just, you know, it's if you're going to be the other character, the commissioner, whatever you want to call it, then be that, and make it mean something. I think it's time that happens as well, and I think he can be good at anything he wants to be. But to me, that's where I sit down with him and want him to dummy it down a little bit and actually act like a mature adult.
And there is precedence for this, too, even though it's like a lifetime ago now. And granted, it's a weird situation, but when they split the brands initially, and this is around the time, obviously, where Austin ended up leading it this time, and the NWO was there and everything, where Flair was, for the most part, he was a legitimate GM. That's how he was going to be portrayed, and he had, you know, issues and run-ins with the NWO and things like that. And basically, the whole thing ended up culminating with Austin walking out because they wanted to do the job to Brock Lesnar, so they ended up having Flair do the job to Brock Lesnar, and then, you know, after that, it was back to Ric Flair, kind of, you know, Ric Flair playing Ric Flair in the WWE. Is that possible for him, though, at this point, to stop wooing and to do that stuff, even though you can threaten the paycheck and that sort of stuff?
Well, you know, it's time that he did, because, you know, it's like, you know, I never had a signature, woo or anything like that. But at this age, if I did have, I would sound pretty stupid doing it. You know, I mean, because I am this age. It's got nothing to do with what I was when I was 30. I'm not 30 anymore. You know, and I think you become a, you know, similar. I keep saying the business is a parody of itself. And I think a lot of times the guys become parodies of themselves. It's all right to mature. I mean, it's something you can't hide if, you know, physically you've done that. Your hair is thinner. Your skin is not as tight. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a human frailty. We all have it. You know, so roll with it, but also grow with it and utilize it. You know, make it work for you. And I think that's where he's missing out. He's not making it work for himself.
Some of the other stuff out of the show, I was very disappointed. Although I, you know, obviously the way what they did on Monday, Wade Barrett doesn't. And in the grand scheme of things in WWE, this is just going to be a blip on the radar. But Gotch lays out Kofi again on Monday. Brian and Dave like how they work together, and I do to a point too. But with that said, I would figure that Barrett is probably going to get the Duke over Kofi at some point since they're continuing this on. And
yeah.
pick up the title, but is it time for, I'm not saying Barrett, because I don't want to see him and Sheamus too much, because I think that's probably what they're going to be having for a multitude of years here, but is it time for Barrett to kind of, I'm not going to say distance himself away from Kofi or anything like that, but would you have him kind of on an island on his own, almost like a Randy Orton in a way where he's just, he keeps him away from any of the nonsense, so he always stays a threat.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, again, character, I don't care if it's a movie or a TV series or professional wrestling, if you're doing it, you know, it's people, it's how you present somebody is how they're perceived. And, you know, you're only as important as the thing you're doing. You know, it's like, you know, if they want Del Rio to be a babyface, they need to put him in a situation that makes it seem important that he's made this decision, right? Not against the three-man band who nobody cares about, you know, which is, you know, that's not going to do a thing to get him over. AJ's new bodyguard, him beating the hell out of John Cena, is give me the value to that. There is none. Some heel there could benefit from beating the hell out of John Cena. But the bodyguard's never going to wrestle Cena, or if he does, it'll be a one-time thing. You know, so the fact that, you know, that he's manhandled Cena, it puts heat on AJ. Is she going to wrestle Cena? I mean, here again, give me legitimate how are you going to get, you know, buy rates out of this? How does it fit into the scheme of you selling your pay-per-view?
I think there's been one effective bodyguard in my lifetime, which was, Jim Cornette's bodyguard, Big Bubba, Ray Traylor, when he was there. But that was, again, they had to do things to get him to that point. But I haven't seen Florida Championship Wrestling a whole lot, especially not with a lot of the guys that have been there recently. But from what you saw of this kid, I can't remember his name now. Sally Langston. I can't remember his name.
Big E, isn't it, or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously a big guy, and you know, but when he kind of stared off at the camera, it's like, again, big guy could probably beat me. In fact, I'm sure he could beat me up, but I didn't get a whole lot of.
He seemed a bit nervous and a bit stiff. I think his body language portrayed that.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what you noticed, and I did as well. You know, and which I'm sure he was. You know, it's like this was a big deal for him, or it could be, or again, it's just, you know, whatever. Obviously, but you know, he looks at it as an opportunity, so. You know, the kid's kind of nervous. I'm not sure with the lack of facials, he may have been told that was what they wanted out of, you know. How many times do you see that bodyguards who are expressionless, right? They just do the thing and never change expression, which is, so that's kind of a, you know, you pull that out of the generic bodyguard closet, I guess. Because, you know, you see that. And that's like if I want to make Mike Sempervivi a heel, I'll give him a pair of sunglasses. Over the years, I'm still trying to figure out why the hell that makes you a heel, but I see that, you know, that's one of the important things in being a heel is, that, you know, the fact that you have some Foster Grants. Hey, I can tell Sempervivi's a prick now. He's got a pair of sunglasses. Oh, okay.
And, you know, with all these other reasons, you can call me that, too.
Yeah, really.
Actually, you might as well go to the break here, and you can actually think of some. I'm sure Rich is right now. go to the break here, and then we'll be back with more on Ringside Wrap.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on news, bring on news.
Today's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, no, a rattlesnake! Sassy, help!
You will, but first you want to talk about shelter pets? The majority of pets in shelters are there due to owner-related issues like divorce or allergies?
Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? where you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donnie Osmond, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports, or English, or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Avast ye homeowners, are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf, and we guarantee results.
Guarantee results!
Aye, the bird speaks the truth. Them's be the benefits of working with a true professional. So don't dilly-dally about. Listen to the wise counsel of your old pal, Honest Jim.
He can't be trusted!
Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other...
All right, we're back here on Ringside Rap, the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and I'll say thank you to Terry and Peterman for being the main sponsors of this show and the website and all the other shows that take place in the GWH family. Last the Christmas time here, and
what I want to ask you here, yes, for $50,000 on the show tonight, who did the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Oh God! You know what? I don't know.
Gene Autry.
It was, okay. I didn't know he did the original.
Yeah.
Huh.
You weren't alive then, but I was. Yes, absolutely.
You know, the amazing part about Gene Autry, it's like Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers, to me, the first memory I have of Roy Rogers, the Fixin's bar where I could steal all the pickles I wanted. But Gene Autry, the owner of the Angels, was where I that's the first thing I think of still when I think of Gene Autry was owning the Angels.
Yeah. Yep. That's the man.
Well, in this Christmas season, I'm not sure if we had a chance to talk about this yet, but I'm sure you had your fair share of Christmas shows in your lifetime where you had to work that night. How does that, obviously it plays havoc with your family life and situations and things like that. And
you,
guys who had to travel.
Yeah, you fit it in the best you can. One time I remember especially my daughter was small. Christmas 67 is when we did the big six man in the old Charlotte Coliseum, Becker Weaver and myself against the Infernos and their manager J.C. Dykes.
That's after you got burned, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I flew back. I took the bright and early Christmas morning. I don't remember what hell time, but I caught a flight back into Charlotte to make that show. But then I was home, you know, and had Christmas Eve with my daughter. That way, you know, I served both masters, as it were. But, yeah, it's, you know, that was one thing. Jim Crockett Sr. always acknowledged the fact that most guys, you know, that worked his territory weren't from there and had families elsewhere. And depending on when Christmas fell, you know, we get at least Charlotte would shut down at least for a week. I mean, you know, and so the guys could go home. I mean, they just didn't run anything. And, you know, in some places just went ahead. Obviously, Christmas night was a big night, like Thanksgiving. You know, it was big business. And so you wanted to work. I mean, you know, if you had the opportunity to work. And so, yeah, I mean, you, in the business, once you were in and you knew what the score was, you know, the holidays were days that where you were going to probably make some serious money because us, you know, they drew big for whatever reason. You know, a lot of the jokes were that everybody was with their family and they got so bored with their family that they had to get out of the house and go somewhere. So if there was wrestling and there's nothing else going on, that's where they went. But, you know, but crazy. I mean, seriously, you know, it was big, big business. And I can't think of any territory I worked in that was not a big show night, Thanksgiving and Christmas night both.
Well, Cornette always has the story about Roughhouse Fargo. You know, he was refereeing in the Crockett territory, and then the holidays would come up, and he would go home. And as he would go home, you know, they've been working in that territory. This angle of crazy Roughhouse is getting out of the nuthouse to come back.
Yeah, Jackie would sign him out to kick somebody's butt, and then they'd send him back. Yeah.
Did you ever have that opportunity or the chance to do something like that, or be, you know, integral in something like that, where you know, you got a chance on a break or something like that to go do something for a short time and shoot back to somewhere else?
No, I never did. Never did. I worked with Sonny or Roughhouse, whatever you call him. He worked preliminary sometimes in the Carolinas too, but he refereed. So I've worked with him in the ring, but I've also, you know, worked with him as a referee. He was a good guy. He really was. But yeah, that was, they would, Jackie got a lot of mileage out of that in Memphis, you know, that, crazy Roughhouse. He's going to get him out of the asylum and so he can kick somebody's butt. Yeah.
Actually, just get a little off those lines. He may have been at Florida at this time, but David Crockett, I know, did a little bit of wrestling under an assumed name.
David Finley.
David Finley, yes.
Yes.
Did you were you there at that time, or
yes.
was that just so he would really know the business inside and out, or did he ever?
Well,
think,
I you know, he had, you know, I guess he really wanted to try it. None of the other, you know, kids had. And he, you know, he obviously learned from it, but you know, it was, I guess in a way you'd say it was a failed experiment, you know, because it never amounted to anything. I mean, he was never utilized in any angles, where, you know, he was integral in drawing money or anything. And the career didn't last, I don't know, may not even last a year, Mike, I don't remember, you know, but you know, he was okay, but he just, you know, he was not going to be of value to the company, to his family in that capacity. So he went back to doing what he did better.
Hey, what did you think about him as an announcer, too? Because Mid-Atlantic had some great ones.
I thought he was horrible. How's that?
That was wonderful because, I mean, Landrum was great. You were great. Cottle was great. I mean, they had, you know, and even, you know, they had guys from over the years in High Point, you know, in places where they had their own announcers. And, you know, I always, it was always something about David Crockett where, you know, you didn't, I didn't want to meet him. He seemed like the nicest, you know, really nice guy and everything. But, yeah, as far as the announcer
well, you
goes,
know, again, as you know, he'd overly excited, and like he swallowed the microphone, you know, and I just, that was, of course, it wasn't my style, and it never was going to be my style, but I just didn't like people doing that, period. It didn't matter who it was. It wasn't, in other words, I'm not saying this because I did, you know, had it out for David Crockett. I did not, but, you know, it just, David did okay. They the family is just trying to find him a role, and really he did a lot of work behind the scenes, you know, even with when Turner bought the company and stuff. So I mean, David was invaluable, you know, valuable within the infrastructure of the business, you know. But I shouldn't say it was horrible. I wasn't a big fan of David as a commentator. I just wasn't. And again, that's looking at it from a business aspect.
Well, from your professional point of view, and I mean, I obviously don't want you to bury anywhere or anything like that, but is there any announcer that you had ever heard over the years where, you know, if you had the chance to go up to him and go, what the hell are you doing? Would you do it?
Yeah. There's a few, you know, a few guys that just, they spent more time pounding their own chest than they did the chest of the guys who were drawing the money. You know, that was one of the things that I've talked to kids that Nigel and I had this conversation when, you know, I always knew that when I was doing, you know, when I was wearing both hats, say in Knoxville, in that territory, that when I had that microphone in my hand, I wasn't one of the boys, you know, and I had a specific job. It wasn't to get me over. When I had the tights on, that was when it was to get me over, you know. Nobody ever had to tell me because I never thought of it in that manner. But a lot of guys get their hands on a microphone. They, you know, a lot of times when I, you know, back before they had two man teams all the time, you know, they send a heel out to sit in with you. There were times certain guys you think, oh Christ, you know, you're going to be trying to guide him to the match and steer him verbally to talking about going on, and he's busy, you know, saying basically everybody in the company except him is shits, right? And
yeah.
And I'm great, and, you know, and it's like, okay, can we talk about, you know. And some announcers were indirectly that way too. And to me, that was not, you know, that wasn't your job, wasn't to get you. You got over if you got every, you're, you got over if you got everybody else over.
Yeah, like Lance Russell, Bob Cottle, both great with that. You know, Ed Whalen, I know if you grew up in Calgary, there's a lot of people that, you know, that's who you grew up with, and you love, you know, Whalen, but he was a great example of that. If he didn't like something that was going on in the show, he would walk off and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Which kind of is mind-blowing, but, you know, again, I guess it's different strokes for different folks, too, and I don't want to bury
yeah,
anybody
we'll see,
or
you know,
like that.
Yeah. Excuse me. I, you know, as a rest, you know, well, during my, you know, when the two careers, you know, crossed one another's paths, I talked about matches as though, you know, I've wrestled this guy or, you know, about a recent experience because that's what it was about. You know, and to me, that's what it always should have been. But it was still about what, you know, the product in the ring. And, you know, so many guys spent so much time, you know, about getting the last word in, right? And that, you know, that was never a problem with me. I didn't have to have the last word. I didn't have to be the guy, you know. It was all right. I was, you know, like how Cornette would use a commentator, how Lawler used a commentator. I never had a problem with that. Now, when I was still wrestling, one of my things was don't touch me. You know, you can't grab me and shake me like you're, you know, some regular announcer because I'm, you know, I'm going to fire back on you. Otherwise, you know, I might as well burn my tights.
Well, that's, yeah, you told a story about Ric Flair doing that where he got excited, where you had to, you know, cut him off and go, hey, you know, slow down there. Was there ever anybody else, or was there ever anyone that you just, they were so hard-headed about it where you had to, like, you know, whoa, stop again?
No, not really, Dutch and I used that in Southeastern as part of the gimmick. In fact, you know, where finally, you know, we were going to have a physical thing, and Don Curtis, who was our commissioner of Southeastern Wrestling, you know, handed down a mandate and said basically what I said to you earlier, you know, Les, when you're wearing that sport coat and holding that microphone, that is your job. You are not to physically, you know, blah, 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 you know. So anyway, what it amounted to is kind of the Sheamus Big Show thing that they're doing now, where I wasn't allowed to touch Dutch, and still I had to interview him, you know, and he and John Foley were working, an angle for the tag team titles with Nelson and I. We had the belts at the time, and Nelson Royal and I. And so, you know, he could get up in my nose and say, you'd love to hit me, wouldn't you? But you can't, can you? You know, that sort of thing. So we milked it, you know, and got out of it what we could in that manner, the fact that I could not touch him. So...
Well, as we throw to a little bitty break here, and then we'll be back, and I got a little announcement for everybody, too. So, everybody, please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits.
All right, we're back here on Ringside with the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and I got some house cleaning to do here. So I'll let you know that Beach Day Pandemonium tomorrow night is going to be paying tribute to all of those from their era that they lost this year, and due to the holidays and the traveling that everybody's going to be doing. This is going to be the last show tomorrow night until January 10th, so definitely check that out with Mike Norris, Jerry Oath, and Bobby Simmons. Wrestling, Georgia Wrestling Now is going to air on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve like normal on those Mondays, so if you got, you know, anything going on there, you want to take a break from the family for a little bit or take a break from the booze on New Year's Eve, check them out as well. And I do want to make an announcement that coming up next week, the 26th, the day after Christmas, we're all going to be here. Les is going to be here. I'm going to be here. Rich Tate may even make an appearance. Mike Mooneyham, Brutal Bob Evans. We're all going to be here. And it's going to be the last show we're doing for a little while, going on a little bit of a hiatus, at least probably, you know, through the first part of next year. So I want to invite everybody out there, all of our listeners, and to call in next week. The number's up there, 347-324-5735, and we invite you guys to call in and talk about the show and your memories of the show. And something tells me this isn't going to be forever, but it is going to be a little bit of a hiatus for a little while, Les.
Right. Well, let's tell the brutal truth here, Mike. What's actually happened is Rich Tate has become a multi-billionaire due to the big advertising dollar on this show. We've made him a very rich man. So he's now bought a home, a winter home on the east coast of Florida next door to Vince McMahon. And probably over the next couple of years, he'll have unsuccessful runs for the Georgia Senate and blow millions of dollars there. And
oh, you know, that Georgia Football League he's been talking about, I'm sure he'd want to pull off as well.
Well, sure, yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes. And so, anyway, that's why, because he doesn't need any more money.
really, what we're doing is obviously Les has lost his mind, so we need to have
I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane, you know.
I'm stealing that.
Oh, what the hell.
Well, Leslie, what are your plans for Christmas? Are you doing any traveling, or are you going to get to stay home?
I don't think so this year. I think it would be a stay. I don't, you know, everybody said, what are you coming here? I think I'm going to stay home this Christmas and not, you know. I was on the road at Thanksgiving. And next year, you know, I'm going to start some extensive traveling anyway. I'll probably be on the West Coast at least 1 week out of every month working with Wrestling Cares. And we're getting ready to put that together. And I'll keep you guys, of course, posted on that as we put the tournament together for next year.
Awesome. And, you know, for anybody, you're not going to miss me for too long because Brian Alvarez is going to come to my house and assault me and choke me out, which he's been wanting to do for quite some time. You can't teach anybody Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because they think they're crazy, and now they just want to kill you every time they see you. But coming up this Sunday with him, Wrestling Observer Live, 6 to 8 on Sirius. Just go to the WrestlingObserver.com website for the details on how to listen to that. And Brutal Bob's listening right now, wondering, you know, he didn't say anything about ROH. He didn't say anything about me and Mikey. Haven't had a show yet, Bob. Don't
okay, that's why the show's going in the toilet, Bob. We don't talk enough about you.
Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to see the show yet. Everybody said it was good, and it's hard for me to believe that Jerry Lynn and Mike Bennett was not good. So I am excited to see that. I'll see if
yeah,
I
yeah. Well, you know, I'm recording with Mike Johnson tomorrow for Wrestler's Eye Radio on PW Insider, and then Vic and I are recording Friday for Wrestling Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly on the Observer, and then we'll be back here after Christmas. Sober, hopefully.
I don't know, you got to watch Mooneyham. He may be drunk off a ham still at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah. Well, he's too busy being on Facebook. I think that's his full-time job now.
Yeah, yeah. For anybody out there, obviously, all of us are on Facebook. If you find one of us, you're going to find all of us. And believe me, you'll know when you find Mooneyham, because it's either going to be old posts about wrestling, or it's going to be him posing with food.
I think he's taking one of the photographers from the paper there in Charleston, and the photographer travels with him. I think he's got his own. Him and what's the kid's name? The referee. That's another stupid storyline in Raw now. What's the kid that?
Oh, Brad Maddox.
Yeah, Mike's got his own still photographer, and Brad's got his videographer. You know, and. Oh, whatever.
Oh, man. Well, Les and Rich over there listening to both you guys, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and look forward to talking with you guys
yeah.
next week, and again for everybody out there too. I
want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, and be safe, and God bless all of you, and have a great time.
Yes, sir, and I echo that, and just throw this out there real quick too, because I'd feel remiss not to. But extra love this holiday season to the residents of Newton, Connecticut, and that awful situation that happened there. So everybody,
yeah.
Please just be good to each other, because this is certainly the time of year to do it. So until next week, everyone, have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you.
For listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.